Well, hold your paper zip high.
Good morning, and welcome to Voices in the Valley, where we celebrate the creative spirit and nurture the art of storytelling. During the show, student writers and professional authors share tips, offer inspiration, and read selections from their work. We share what matters most with us, and today's show is going to be especially meaningful. I'm Steph at theshireonline.com, and I am here with my co-host and BFF, Dina Livingston.
Hello!
And Jenna, our amazing producer who keeps us on track and timely.
I do my best. Hello.
And you do a really fine job despite the odds.
So, thank you, darling.
Today's topic is going to be I Can Do This, How to Take Risks and Say What You Want to Say. This is a part of our 12-part series on how to write a novel. We're well over two-thirds of the way through, and we've had a lot of fun with
it. We have. This has been great.
We've laughed. We've gotten ourselves into trouble sometimes.
A little bit.
We've done all kinds of things, and today we're going to be a little bit more serious as we consider being authentic in our artistic endeavors and what that means for us. And to do that, we have a really, I think, amazing and profound show. We're going to have Regina Peloso from Collide Theatrical here to join us. We'll be interviewing her. And then in the last half of our show, Christina and Natalie, all the way from Lakeville and, I don't know, I think it's like Elk River, Minnesota. I'll have to double check with Natalie when she comes. We'll be here with Emma to interview Emma on a essay that she wrote and won a writing competition with that talks about the last goodbye with her father. So that will be
beautiful, I'm sure.
A really lovely and meaningful moment that we're so grateful to her for being willing to share. But first, we have artistic director Regina Peloso from Collide Theatrical with us. Regina, welcome
Hello.
To the show.
Hi, thank you.
It's so good to have you here. Tell me just a little bit about Collide.
Sure. Our mission is to create original Broadway-style jazz dance musicals. So I have a company of about four main dancers, and we produce two productions per year. And throughout those productions, we also engage with live musicians. We collaborate
Excellent.
With actors and vocalists, and we bring in guest dancers as well. Part of our mission is to create family-friendly programming, engage live musicians in all of our performances, and keep our ticket prices accessible for our community.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Sounds awesome.
Okay, so two things I have to say about that, Dina. One, we need to go and bring our girls.
That would be so great.
And then secondly, when is the next audition? Because, you know, Dina and I used to dance.
Oh, for sure. Oh, my God.
We did ballet and jazz. Oh, we didn't really do ballet. We did jazz and tap and all those sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I must admit,
I can drag out those dance pictures.
Yeah. I think we may have played Miss Pac-Man more than we actually danced.
Probably. Ate Cheetos out in the lobby.
And the vending machine pretty was pretty attractive. But hey, we did dance and we acted too.
So you got your jazz hands.
Yeah.
We have jazz hands like you wouldn't believe, let me tell you.
So there wasn't a lot of options then.
Well, and I think we may have vaguely dreamed of making it big, but obviously...
Not as a dancer. I'm not pretty sure I knew early on early in the Bumblebee days, that was never going to happen.
So, Regina, when you were young, did you dream of being a dancer?
I did. My mom says that I got a flyer in the mail with a ballet dancer on it that came to the house, and I kept giving it to her and just pointing at it and shoving it at her. And she never danced. And she thought it was... I finally, I guess, talked her into taking class, but she thought it was some little fluke and that,
adorable.
You know, last a couple months.
So did it ever feel like it would be risky to be a dancer? Were you ever nervous about becoming a dancer? And let me ask you one more follow-up to that to include, how did you get to be from that little girl who was excited to see the ballerina dancer to where you are today as the artistic director of Collide? Can you help us along that
yes,
process?
Yes, it was not a straight and narrow, you know, pathway.
Okay.
I feel like that's a musical theater song, but it was a very windy path, and I tried many other things to try and get myself off the path because it's not an easy road whatsoever. I think any artist, no matter what there's also always a safer road to walk down that's got, you know, more stability and but yeah, I grew up here. I went to school for you know, I was taking dance lessons. Again, there was nothing serious. I wanted to do it a lot more than, you know, my mother was able to drive me.
But, we get that.
Right. So it was not, it wasn't the path that, you know, I thought I would take. I went to a small school. I did not get the kind of technique that I needed, the dance training at a young age. Yeah. By the time I went to a school that was, you know, a very ballet focused school, I was very behind. And I was so far behind that I was in classes with kids younger than me. So I went around to the musical theater route and started doing musical theater dance. And I actually didn't dance for a few years in high school until I went into college. I ended up going out to Boston Conservatory of Music for a BFA in musical theater. And that's where I fell back in love with dance. From there, getting a BFA in musical theater, I still had to take classes in acting and voice and everything else. But that brought me to New York, where I started working as a musical theater performer.
Oh, wow. Amazing. In New York City?
Yes.
Oh, Regina. Yeah. Wow. You are living the dream.
It's not as glamorous as the dream sounds, but I did.
Was that scary? I mean, certainly going to New York as...
You know, Boston was scarier for me. Coming from, I lived, you know, New Brighton, Minnesota. I was very, you know, went to private school for 12 years. I felt very sheltered. And going out to Boston, and, you know, there's a subway, and the way of life was so different living downtown, a big city, that really prepared me to move to New York. I never dreamed also when I went to school in Boston that I would move to New York. Right. You know, I always thought I'd just come home to Minnesota. My parents had never even been to New York, you know.
Right.
New York
right.
to me was just this place you don't really hear about, but, you know.
Right.
But the first time I went, I fell in love with it. And it was wonderful. I still love New York.
And you went to London, too, didn't you?
I did. When I was in college, I went out to the London Academy of Music and Dramatic Arts for and studied Shakespeare
for a
summer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You've really done it all. So obviously, you took some risks and did some scary things, and it really paid off for you. Obviously, we're talking about dance, not creative writing right now, and musical theater and acting and all the things that go along with it. But I feel like in all the artistic disciplines, whether you're a writer or an actor or a musician, that it still takes a lot of inner focus, and you have to really dig deep into your heart to decide if this is something that you want to do, because there's sacrifices involved and there's risks. And could you speak on that a little bit?
Yeah,
how did you get the courage to do what you're doing?
I think it all comes from the same place, honestly. You know, I've dabbled in, there've been times when I've been sick of doing musical theater, and I've dabbled into writing, or I've dabbled into music, or all those other things. Again, it's, you know, you try other things and you don't feel happy and you don't feel that your heart is in them, and then you keep coming back to your art, and that's the only time that you ever feel that joy and you feel the energy and you feel like you're in the right place. That's kind of what happened to me. Taking big risks and then finding the little things that would push you to the next step, the encouragement from other people or the little success that you would get, whether it's nailing an audition and getting a job or if it's just positive feedback, and then you feel like you're on the right path.
So really what you're saying is that, one, it has to come from within, and it's just really you breathe and live it because you love it. And you just have to do it.
You have to love what you're doing. And you have to feel as if you have to do it. If there's something else you can do and be happy, do it, because it's easier. You know? There's stability there.
So there's the advice. You know?
But if you can't, and you really know that you can't, and this is what you have to do, then nothing else matters. You know?
Yeah.
Not having the kind of money that you want, or not having the ability to go, you know, to the mall every day, or my dancers struggle with that. You know?
Yeah.
They know that they could, you know, have a day job and make more money, but for them, the sacrifice of performing is worth it for them.
Well, and it seems to me that you mentioned teamwork as well, and also just having a support group behind you. Mm-hmm. And dance is especially fortunate in that you often dance with a company like yours, and you have a network of people who are sharing a passion for their art. And it seems to me that would be a really necessary feature as well as you're trying to delve into your art.
Oh, completely. I think they all kind of help each other too to stay in the path when, you know, they're working nights and other people are working days. You know, they kind of have the camaraderie to be on the same schedule.
Like a family. Almost.
It becomes a family. It very much does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think sometimes creative writers are a bit of a disadvantage there, because writing can be so solitary.
Yes.
But that said, all right, quick plug for the Shire, because that's part of why we're here. We do have a writing group that meets on Tuesdays, where students who love to write can bring their work and share it with each other and encourage each other in the process. So
it's very unusual, as people need to understand. There's not a lot of that.
No, I don't know of many writing clubs at all, no. Certainly not for secondary students. So we're really fortunate that Kim, our programming director at the Shire, leads that. Last time around, we had 9 students there. So and that's after the second time of meeting.
Wow.
So it's, yeah.
There's a need for it. Yeah.
There is a need for it. And so if anyone is interested, you can either email me, steph@theshireonline.com or kim@theshireonline.com, and we'll get you into that group. But back to dancers and dancing, because you have a very exciting production coming up called Dracula.
Yes.
And I would love to hear more about that.
Great. It's an original take. It's set in modern New York City, current day. It's a family-friendly show. We're kind of losing some of the horror.
The darkness.
The darkness that you normally acquire with Dracula. And we're taking it from his point of view. If you read the Bram Stoker book, everything is about everybody else's point of view. And we're trying to flip it on its head and say, what about this character? What is his point of view? And how can we have some sort of sympathy for Dracula instead of seeing him as this ultimate villain? Who really is the villain? He's the outsider and everyone has, you know, prejudging him. So there's live music, 10 professional dancers, 2 vocalists, 6 people in the band, and it's pop music. Nirvana,
really
Foo Fighters, Lady Gaga.
Are you serious?
Yep.
With Dracula?
Awesome. With Dracula. A little Bon Jovi.
That sounds fabulous.
Well, that sounds really incredible.
And when is it?
March 10th to the 20th at the Ritz Theater. And you can find out more information at collidetheatrical.org.
Collide.
Theatrical. Yeah, okay. C-O.
So C-O. Let me see if I can spell. I'm a writer. I should be able to, right? C-O-L-L-I-D-E-T-H-E-A-T-R. ICAL.com.
.org. So close.
.org.
.org.
Clyde.
Nailed it though.
Theatrical.org. This is why I was never in a spelling bee of any sort whatsoever. Anyways, Regina, it is so nice to have you here.
Thank you so much.
We really appreciate you being here. And it's inspiring to me to hear the journey that you've taken and how you've been successful. And I love that you just need to really follow your heart. And as a mother, maybe I don't want to end on this
maybe
note, but I can't resist. But if there's something else you love, kids out there, like engineering or STEM, feel free to
but also point your toes and work really hard.
But point your toes and work
worth
really
it.
Hard. And you know, in the end, it's the journey that we
That's
have to decide
it.
That we take. So
yeah.
Thank you, Regina, very much.
You've just listened to an interview with Regina Peloso of Collide Theatrical Dance Company that was first recorded in March of 2016 as a part of our How to Write a Novel series. Next week, we will go back to our regular programming as episode 5 of Hush airs. Continue to tune on in during the break, and we'll be back with another flashback to the past as Emma comes on to talk about taking creative risks in her writing.
Hi, this is Emma Atkins, head writer for Hashtag Hush Podcast and actress who plays the role of Andy. The Hush team is comprised of teenagers from all over the St. Croix Valley who write, perform, and produce an original sci-fi radio series. You may have heard our previous episodes played the first Saturday of every month here on Voices in the Valley. But now we are thrilled to announce Hush is on iTunes, Google Play, and SoundCloud. Please find us on iTunes and subscribe, rate, and review your own hometown, homegrown podcast. Our goal is to become new and noteworthy on iTunes, and you can help make that happen. Hush follows a teenage girl named Andy, whose parents and then grandmother mysteriously disappear. Andy and her friends set off to search for them on a quest that leads into multiple worlds filled with dangerous secrets and manipulative people, all kinds of fun characters. The voice of a strange being named Silence, a bumbling police officer who wants to train his pug to be a police dog, and well-intended but misguided adults aggravate the situation rather than making it better. It's been super fun to write and amazing to act in, and we want you to experience it too. So right after this episode of Voices in the Valley, check out iTunes, find Hush, subscribe, rate, and review. Also find us by Googling hashtag Hush Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show.
This is Steph from Voices in the Valley. Join us this Saturday night for Stillwater Kiwanis Club St. Croix River Valley Bluegrass Fundraiser from 4 until 9 at the Water Street Inn. The Bluegrass Fundraiser features the bands of King Wilkie's Dream, the Clay Hess Band, Brian Wicklin's Fiddle Pals, and Stillwater's very own Blue Hazard. Help raise money for local area youth while enjoying the best of bluegrass. To get you excited about the event, enjoy this little bluegrass treat thanks to Blue Hazard.
This is Blue Hazard, and I'm Dale.
And this is Luke, and here's a song off our recent album called Remembrance.
Forever he sees his precious gold in letters he wrote a promise note. And he tells her, I love you, this will never end. But now the fallout settles in and she forgets his quest. She finds herself in tears reciting this. Some say
St. Croix River Valley Bluegrass Fundraiser, this Saturday, 4 to 9. At the Water Street Inn.
Back in the day, food was more genuine somehow. It still is at Wayback Burgers. We use only fresh, authentic ingredients with made-to-order burgers and creamy hand-dipped milkshakes. At Wayback, things are as they were, only better. Taste freshness, America. Wayback Burgers.
Find your Wayback in Woodbury, just north of Valley Creek Road on Radio Drive. Order online at waybackburgers.com. Wayback Burgers in Woodbury. Find your way back.
My dad says I'm his pride and joy.
My mommy says I was her big surprise.
My mom says I'm her best helper.
I'm adopted. My dad says I was a gift.
That's right, kids. Each of you are a miracle and a blessing from God. Hello, my name is Angie. I work with Pro-Life Across America, the billboard people. If you know someone who is pregnant and in need of confidential counseling, including alternatives to abortion or post-abortion assistance, please call Pro-Life Across America at 1-800-366-7773 or check us out online at prolifeacrossamerica.org. Pro-Life Across America is educational, non-political, and tax-deductible. Please help support our life-saving outreach.
A baby child is being 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the billboard people.
We've been family-owned since 1922, and we still believe that it all starts with you.
Find your bonus tag at Stillwater Motors. Hurry in and save up to $11,000 on new 2017 Chevy 1500 Silverado Crew Cabs. Find new roads with your next vehicle from Stillwater Motors. Redunds family owned since 1922. Call 651-HEY-CHEV or go to stillwatermotors.com.
Stillwater Motors, good people to know.
If you are just joining us, you are listening to Voices in the Valley on KLBB 1220 AM. The last half of our show is always student-hosted, and if you are a secondary student listening to the program right now and you're interested in being involved, please email me, Steph, at theshireonline.com, and we'll see what we can do to connect you. But now I'm delighted to introduce our student hosts for today's show, Christina, a 9th grade Lakeville North South High School student, and Natalie, a 12th grade PSEO student at the University of Northwestern. Welcome, Natalie and Christina, to the show.
Hi.
It's really good to have you here. And you have a special, special guest today because you have one of your best friends, Emma, on the air. Is that right?
Yeah, we love Emma.
Emma, hello. Welcome to Voices in the Valley.
Hi.
It's good to have you here. Why don't you guys tell me, how did you
all meet the three of you, because Emma's from Stillwater and Natalie's from Elk River and Christina, you're from Lakeville. So that those are all kind of far away from each other. So tell us, how did you guys meet and become friends?
Well, we actually were dancing together, but we weren't that close at that time. So this summer, we hosted Emma to stay at our house for the summer. So that's when we really bonded and got really close and grew a friendship.
Yeah, and Natalie stayed over in August for some summer intensives, and it was quite the couple of weeks. Some fevers, some sprained ankles.
So you really bonded over the hardship of being ballet dancers.
It was great.
So tell me where you guys dance.
We dance at Ballet Royale, Minnesota. It's in Lakeville.
Well, I just have to put a plug in for one of the Shire classes because I have three ballerinas here, three dancers, and I would be remiss if I didn't talk about a class that the Shire will be offering on Sunday, April 16th with Regina Peluso, who was on our show earlier this morning. She's the artistic director with Collide Theatrical, and she's going to be offering a class called Jazz Dance and the Art of Storytelling. You can learn how to use your bodies to express words and to create story through movement. Definitely check that out at theshireonline.com. Girls, why don't I turn it over because you have some questions for Emma, and go ahead.
Okay, well, first of all, Emma, are you comfortable with sharing about your dad?
Yeah, it took me 2 years, but I think I'm there.
Okay, so can you tell us about this writing competition that you took part of?
Last fall, I was my modern teacher from Threads Dance Company talked about a writing competition. You could get free tickets to their Warriors of Light Threads Dance Company show if you won this writing contest. So the prompt was write about something that made you stronger. And so immediately my thoughts jumped to my dad and that situation. So I wrote about kind of my last moments with him and how it affects me today and how it kind of puts a filter on my life. And I ended up winning, which was super cool, and got to read it to an audience, and it was just, it kind of put me on a new path.
Was it risky?
Yes, because it's hard for me to share something so personal. It felt really therapeutic, actually, to share it, but at the time I was really insecure. What if I came off like I was self-pitying myself or overdramatic or just kind of full of myself, egotistical, just all these things. I was really insecure about it. So, yeah, it was a bit of a risk.
How did you musk up the courage to submit your essay?
I submitted it 1 minute before the deadline of September 31st at 11:58. I was like, I had already written it. I usually take things to my mom to edit, but I was like, no, I'm not even going to tell her. I'm just going to submit it. So I submitted it, and they emailed me saying, congratulations, come to our show. You have 2 free tickets.
Say, Emma, before you read it for our listening audience out there who may not know what happened, could you just briefly tell us what happened with your dad?
When I was 10 years old, he was diagnosed with a rare form of cancer called, myxoid round cell liposarcoma cancer. I've said it so many times, I can't believe I just forgot that. But 4 years later, he ended up passing away, and that kind of dominated the beginning of my teenage life, so.
Oh, well, I'm looking forward to hearing your essay. Thank you for sharing it with us.
I felt dread. One wouldn't expect such a thing while staying in a building the size of a mansion. It was true that a small living area held a fancy couch, and across from that a high-definition, flat-screen TV. It was true that this led to finely carpeted hallways that connected 4 thickly wooded doors to equally lovely rooms. It was also true that yellow flowers posed on the windowsill and the walls were colored a calming pastoral green. However, the couch, though sumptuous, sat forlornly with only the barest potential for comfort. The TV, though large, only played trashy soap operas. The doors, though thick, said nothing of the paper-thin walls that conceded to the sounds of raspy coughs from dying patients across the hall. The fragrant flowers, though pretty, did nothing to mask the odor of death, medicine, and old people. Plus, the walls looked like a rotten garden regurgitated its breakfast. But the absolute worst part of this place was the truth. Behind one of those four thick doors was my dad, and he was dying. The deathbed held him, a plastic white contraption that took on the responsibility of moving him up and down, since he, paralyzed by the cancer that broke apart his spine, no longer could. The blinds, closed and dreary, leaked dimness into the room. I held my father's clammy hand and commanded myself to breathe. He's paralyzed from the waist down, my mother had told me 3 weeks ago. I tightened my grip on his fingers. He's in a comatose state, she whispered 3 days ago. I sucked in a shaky breath. He's entered the active stage of dying, she said yesterday. I choked on my watery saliva and salty tears while staring at my father's once lively face. I stroked his slimy, gaunt, ailing brow while noting his cheekbones sticking sharply out. I listened to his breathing, now so irregular I had no doubt it would stop. Breathe in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Gasp for breath. Breathe out. 1, 2. His new respiratory pattern. I smoothed his black hair off his sticky forehead and giggled at his ridiculous bedhead. I chortled again, and then I began to cry. My father's body was small, shrunken from his original 6-foot height to the size of a frail boy. He made noises from the very back of his throat, and his mouth widened, showing off his crooked British teeth. I burst into speech. I'm not sure what I said or even how I said it. I am sure that my entire body was shaking, and tears traced down my chin and onto the thin cream blanket covering his blue pajama-clad legs. His hand still in mine hung limply, like a rabbit hanging from a noose. Golden hues of his wedding band, kept on his skeletal finger by tape, glittered even in the darkness of the day, a final tribute to my parents' marriage. I stood from my chair, placed the last kiss I could give him on his forehead, and turned towards the door. Goodbye, Daddy. As I left the room, I pushed back the desire to collapse by his bed and never leave. Instead, I gave a watery smile and allowed a sense of numbness to consume me. Chin up, I thought. I continued to be haunted by my father's passing. I think I always will be. He died March 11th, 2014. I was 10 when he was first diagnosed. Walking away from him, knowing it was the last time I would see him alive, I learned a valuable lesson. No matter how crappy life becomes, you keep your head up and put your best foot forward. As my brother was on the brink of tears, I magically found the right words of comfort. On late nights when my mother didn't make it up to bed, I helped her up the stairs and under covers. When my friend cried to me about how unfair her dad was, I listened. That night, I vowed to myself, no matter what happens in my life, I will always put my best efforts into everything I do. Life's short. I don't want to waste a second.
Wow. Emma, thank you so much for sharing that with us. And thank you to Natalie and Christina for being such good friends to you throughout this whole process. I'm grateful for the opportunities that are given to students here on the show to be able to do such deep sharing like this. Emma, tell us before we wrap up our show, because we're coming to the end, how did people react to this when you presented it?
I was actually really touched by how people reacted. One lady came up to me. She sat a couple rows away from me, and she thanked me for reading it, and she told me that her mother had died 10 days prior, and that my essay had just given her the strength or the energy that she needed to really get back on track with her life. And that was a big aha moment for me, and it really changed.
And you've written a blog now, haven't you?
Yeah, mostly because of that woman, and just everyone's had experiences like this.
So tell us your blog.
It's iperformtoday.wordpress.com. is the website. It's basically a performing arts exploration blog mixed with my experiences with cancer and being a teenage girl growing up. It's kind of like an online diary. Scary.
Wow. I think that's very brave. I'm so glad you had the courage to submit it, even if it was 30 seconds before the deadline. So, Christina and Natalie and Emma, enjoy Quickfire Pizza. Meaningful moments like this were made possible by Quickfire Pizza, made to order individual pizzas, wood-fired to perfection, cooked and ready to enjoy in only 90 seconds. I'm sure you'll enjoy your lunch very, very much. We're so glad that you joined us today. We encourage you to take risks in your own creative writing. Thanks for listening to Voices in the Valley on KLBB 1220 AM. Now go forth and write.